it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. As always, week two of the NFL season begins tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, Doc, it's flying by. Just as we said, Tuesday's already ready for another football game, and it should be a really, really good one tonight.
Could be, yeah.
We were just talking off the air about, you know, as far as what Micah Parsons is going to be. He's played with 29 last time, so, you know, they're going to wrap him up. I still don't know if they're going to give him the full boat, but as little as he played, as effective as he was, so I was like, well, he was in the same division with the Commanders. What was the stats last year against him? He just gave it to me, and I was just like, So he's played against Jalen.
So he's familiar.
He's familiar. I mean, I know
Jaden's familiar with
Jaden's familiar with him more than anything, but I know they got the new offensive line, got Tunsil over there. But, yeah, it should be a real interesting game as he gets more and more acclimated with his team and the scheme and everything like that.
Yeah, Packers, Commanders tonight, Thursday night football, like Randy mentioned. Micah Parsons played a little bit on Sunday for the Packers, just enough to give everybody a real taste of what's coming.
Right.
And they had a really nice win to start the season. And then we were looking it up because you mentioned it, what he did last year against Washington in two games, 4.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 6 quarterback hits, 14 total tackles.
Yeah.
He was out there.
Yeah.
He's had 4.5 sacks in 2 games.
Yeah.
Jaden's probably not looking forward to that tonight, but I'm sure they'll game plan for it. But chance to see him play again. And two of the better teams in the NFC scoring off tonight, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think a lot of times when you have this early matchup, it's easy to make, well, if one loses, that means that, you know, they got the leg up on the team, maybe in the record book. But I still, no matter what the outcome of this game, I still think Green Bay is right behind Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I do. And I always make sure I include everything as far as health. Because I think the biggest thing with Green Bay is if Jordan Love is healthy, they're going to be good. Because I think he's a good quarterback. I do. Now, he'll give you the ball, and he trusts his damn arm. But I still I like what Green Bay is doing. And obviously Washington, they came on the scene last year, this young quarterback. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I keep saying that. You just can't win as many games they did on the last throw or the last play like they did last year and think that it's going to carry over. Now, they got Debo, and Debo had a big effect on that game last week. You know, it just the accountability that defenses had to have for him. And I'm talking about Andy. He was just going in motion, and it wasn't even going to him, but just the accountability that maybe a linebacker or somebody has to have for him, they were just showing it. Then you saw when he got the ball on that little reverse what he did, so. He's
Again,
a special player.
Health is another obvious big headline when it comes to him. When he's on the field, he's really good. He just doesn't stay on the field all that much because of the way that he plays. What they were last year, Washington, that is the good example, maybe the optimistic example of what can happen if you get in a lot of close games, right? I think the Chiefs were the same thing last year. Every single game they played was that one score, and they were able to get it at the end. And even the best teams, if you live like that over the course of time, you're probably going to come back to the middle, right? Now, maybe not the Chiefs because they have Patrick Mahomes, but you saw it in the first game of the season that they played. It was a one-score game, and they weren't able to pull the magic out of the hat like last year, and they lost. We talked about this yesterday with the Falcons. In the 18 games that Raheem Morris has coached, 13 of them have been one-score games.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably true of most coaches in the NFL also, right? Like, I don't know what percentage of games are one-score games.
It's a one-possession league.
But, more than half of them are, and the fact that about 75% of his have been is not surprising. It's ramped up when you look at how many of those they've lost, obviously.
Correct.
And how they've lost those games.
Yes.
Much like how they lost the first game of this season. You apply all that to what you expect to see on Sunday night. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a close football game Sunday night in Minnesota between the Falcons and the Vikings. The Vikings have a lot of talent.
They
got a lot of weapons on that roster.
They do.
And they added a lot of guys to that defense, too.
Yes.
You go back and kind of look at what they were able to do against Chicago. Chicago's run game against the Vikings looked a lot like the Falcons' run game against the Bucs.
Yeah.
So you got to figure that out from week one to week two. Because if you run the ball like you did Sunday and you're Atlanta, you're going to lose a lot of games this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, that when you go back to, you know, just looking at Minnesota, they're talented. They got a lot of people. But they got a young quarterback. And as gutty and gritty as that kid did play, J.J. McCarthy, not a stretch, he still played like straight cheeks to start the game. But he did finish strong and everything like that. And I don't think – I can't say I don't think. I don't know if he can carry that over, that confidence and everything. Like the Falcons still have got to get after him and make him, you know, make him more of what he was the first three quarters than that fourth quarter. And if they can do that, then they'll be in this football game. But if they can't run the football, and I know we had Arch on yesterday, and he's absolutely correct. Whenever your offensive line unit gets their ass whipped, you want to come back stronger than ever. Okay, that sounds good and everything. It does sound good. I'm pretty sure Coach Led and all them hitting the sled a couple extra times yesterday and today. I get it.
And I don't doubt that plays a role from Sunday to Sunday for sure. But that also would suggest that, like, last Sunday the offensive line wasn't fired up. Like, they were fired up.
Yes.
Game one also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're talking about.
Is that going to be? Oh, now we're really ready. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean because I mean,
get it. It probably does factor.
They got their blank pushback.
But I think that's also like it's a good thing to say when your run game looked like that and you're trying to make a positive out of it going forward.
Yeah, they got their blank pushback. Yeah. Offensive line. They did.
And I'm sure they had a good game plan.
Yeah. But they got to figure something out because this is a very talented. Now, it's not as big. They don't have a Vita Vea on their defensive line.
No, but they got some dudes.
Jonathan
Allen's
a good player.
Javon Hargrave's good.
Javon Hargrave's
good.
He had two sacks last game.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Grenard, he's a good player. I don't know if Van Ginkle is going to play or not, but he was such a great addition from Miami. Yep. And then you got the coordinator who is going to bring and disguise and do all those things as Flo's always been. He's always been his calling card. And so
he's never lost in his time, and it's pretty small sample size that he's been the DC in Minnesota. But in his time in Minnesota, he's undefeated against quarterbacks that have less than 2 years of experience.
Yeah, I mean, he gets that. He
makes young quarterbacks look young.
He's in the Belichick tree.
Yeah.
He's in the Belichick tree. And that was a big thing with Bill all those years when you talk about going against young quarterbacks because the biggest thing that he tries to do, obviously he wants to confuse you, but he wants you to think something is there and it's not.
Yeah, right.
And that's how they get you to speed up and they get those turnovers. And so, you know, the Falcons and Michael have to be smart with the football, but they got to be able to run it somehow, Andy. They got to find some traction in that run game so that they can slow some of that stuff down. And they got to stay out of long yardage. We understand that, 3rd and 7+. You got to stay out of that because that's when he likes to bring it. And you got to capitalize when you get an opportunity to score touchdowns. You got to make the play for them. And if it comes down to, you know, a kick, you got to make it. Whichever one of those dudes is going to kick. So if it's Romo,
whoever it is.
Which I'm pretty sure, I'm kind of leaning that that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
But, hell, I don't know.
I don't know either, but you don't bring six guys in to try to take somebody's job on a Tuesday and then comfortably give them their job back for Sunday.
No.
You know what I mean? Or not give it back, but you know what I mean.
Thanks, A.
They didn't. You know what I mean? Like, you and me are doing pretty good.
Yeah.
They're not bringing in people to try out for our jobs on Tuesdays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If we were sucking it up, they probably would.
Yeah, more likely.
You know?
More likely. Asking us to take vacations.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you got to maybe take a week off and we'll see if we can try some new guys
out. Right.
But yeah, that's what that was. That was hopefully they could find someone to take his job. Now, look, if he doesn't do good in the week leading up to it,
they put
him back out there.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a nightmare scenario.
That's a bad problem.
Yeah, no,
that's a bad problem.
It lines up to be, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen. But, like, there's a scenario in which Koo goes out there and is the kicker again on Sunday. Close game, you know. I mean, you'd see all the, you know what it is. And if it goes like it did last week, like, there's going to be you know, pitchforks and
and
mobs in front of Mercedes-Benz.
No, it ain't for Mercedes-Benz, in front of Flowery Branch.
Wherever Terry Fontenot lives or whatever.
They're going to be out there in front of Flowery Branch if it happens again, which is one of those crazy things because you kind of already know and kind of feel that's what it's going to be. You know it's going to be a close game, obviously, because
they're
a good team, but they have a situation where their quarterback is still young, so he's going to keep you in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got. Now you can't allow him to get comfortable because they can run the football, because that was the key to that little run in the back end of the second half against Chicago. Yeah. Was that they were able to run the football.
Jordan Mason,
and then, like, you know, they got Jones. He's a hell of a receiver.
He is, yeah.
He's a hell of a receiver. He's a hell of a guy on screens and those things like that. They threw him a touchdown. I mean, they got dudes that can make plays. But once they started just turning around and handing the football off, that's when they started getting back into Chicago.
Something about Jordan Mason week one, you know? Remember last year, yes. they scratched McCaffrey like 60 minutes before the game. He comes in for the 49ers, ran for like 200 yards. And then obviously Sunday or Monday night with the Vikings, didn't have anything really going. And Jordan Mason, the tech guy.
Give me the ball.
Gets it rolling. And yeah, man, they did a bunch of stuff too with both those guys on the field at the same time. Just to kind of throw a wrinkle at you with what they can do offensively. I don't know. Like, I like what the Vikings do. Like, yeah. I like their coach.
Yes,
I like their defensive coordinator.
Love their coach.
I like
love
a lot of the players on that team. Like, obviously, I hope the Falcons go up there and beat them on Sunday.
Can.
Of course,
and
I think
can.
That they can.
And they can.
It's just one of those organizations right now in the NFL where I think they're really well run.
I mean, you go from
the top.
They're
really well coached.
You go from the top, from ownership. GM's a damn superstar. He's a damn superstar GM. You know, again, you go down to the coach who, you know, they just got extensions, rightfully so. He has been, he's a hell of an offensive play caller. But at the same time, he's a great culture builder, man. And I mean, that's a great culture. I mean, you got to have, it helps have good players, but that's where your GM goes to get you those good players.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got this, and then you're developing this young quarterback where you talk to anybody around the league, that's the right place for a young quarterback to be with Kevin O'Connell and McCown and those guys, and allow him to develop because he's their dude. They put it all on him for him to be their dude. He showed a great sign of resilience last week, even though the overall game wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. It looked like a guy making his first start in the NFL.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, if he develops into the guy that they think he is, which is why they took him and all that, then that's their piece.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they won a lot of football games with Sam Darnold.
Yes.
They won a lot of football games with Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
I mean, they won a lot of football games with, I don't know what you would call that type of quarterback, but not an elite quarterback.
Yes.
Right?
Good quarterback play,
not great quarterback play. If J.J. McCarthy is that guy, which, who knows? I mean, it's one game. then they're rolling because they got all the other stuff. Hopefully the Falcons knock them off on Sunday night. We'll let you hear some audio from Raheem Morris. We'll let you hear from Michael Penix as well. You hear what Snit said?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I did. I loved it. One more year.
That right
One
there.
More
oh, yeah, I heard that part.
One
I thought
more
something.
Year.
I thought he said something.
One more year. Come on. I've been banging the drum for months. Snit heard it. No one likes it but me. Randy quit. He's gone. All right. Tell you what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We need to go out.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There and figure out how to take advantage of the miss ops and make those ops this week, right? We had about 5 drop picks. If you're really hard, if you're really critical, you can add it up to 3 that we definitely should have had. We got to find a way to get those sacks and get them on the ground, the extra ones that we left out there. We probably missed about 2 or 3 sacks. Mm-hmm. If you can make the plays and find a way to make those plays, you put yourself in better position to go out there and win. And when you talk about offense, if you can go out there and establish the run game that you're very comfortable doing and be able to get some of those things off and be able to run the ball like you need to run it, and to be able to compliment him with the nice passing game that we were able to put out there last week.
That's Falcons head coach Raheem Morris yesterday with Dukes and Bell. Always sits down with the guys on Wednesdays. If you missed the conversation, check it out on the website or on the Dukes and Bell podcast page. Yeah, I mean, he's right. They definitely missed some opportunities.
Yeah,
it is. As the week goes, the number of dropped picks gets bigger.
Yeah.
Sunday it was, they dropped a couple.
Right.
Yesterday it was 3, now it's 5.
Yeah, it's always
by tomorrow, they dropped every pass Baker threw. Should have been intercepted. But they also let him get out a couple times when they had him down in a couple big moments as well. Can't do that because J.J. McCarthy will do the same thing to you. He's escapable.
Jay's a better athlete and faster and bigger than Baker Mayfield, man. So, yeah, you don't want this kid because You know, that's usually – no, that's not usually. That's what all young athletic quarterbacks do early on in their careers. They use athleticism, and smart coaches use it also. You know, they call different type quarterback runs. I wouldn't doubt there would be a few quarterback runs for this kid just to get him more comfortable, get him into the flow of the game. But, yeah, I mean, when you got the quarterback dead to right, you got to get him on the ground. You know, you can affect him. Hang on over his shoulder pads. No, you got to put your pads on him and get him on the ground.
Tackle him behind the line of scrimmage with the balls in his hand. Yes. With the ball in his hand.
Or knock it out.
Or knock it out. Yeah. That'd be even better. Yeah. That'd be even better. Yeah, man. I wonder, I just crossed my mind here, with, you know, Penix showed it a little bit on fourth down at the end a couple times. Try to get something for him with his feet.
Maybe.
Just to keep him honest.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean,
spark that run game a little bit.
I would think so. I would say just more or less a called quarterback run, not like a zone read where he's reading. Yeah. Just a called quarterback.
Where everybody
sweep.
Knows he's doing it. Well, on your team, hopefully.
Yeah, quarterback sweep or something like that. Just a call it. I would prefer that more than that. But the Falcons, they have a better quarterback in this game. Michael Penix is better than J.J. McCarthy, in my opinion. And so his biggest thing is that he has to continue to keep developing. These guys have got to help him also. It does look like Drake London's probably going to play on Sunday. Probably Darnell Moody's going to play. Maybe not a whole game. I mean, maybe not his whole allotment, but try to find some ways to get him out there to help. I saw Casey Washington, the concussion protocol.
He fell hard on one throw.
Yeah, and
that's the same thing happened to him last year.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to the five guys up front. They got to play a lot better than they played on Sunday up there in Minnesota. They can't have the penalties. It's going to be loud, okay? It's going to be loud. All right, so the false start penalties, you already know it's going to be loud.
Yep.
And so you've got to dig in and be able to establish his run game. And Bijan's got to be closer to 25 touches.
Yeah. What was it last week? 16, something like that? 16, 18?
Yeah,
it's got to be above 20.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the game
within
has to.
Within the flow of the game.
The flow didn't allow that last week, but dictate it, hopefully. What else did we want to mention? Week two kicks off tonight from an NFL perspective. Week two kicks off tonight, Commanders at Packers. We mentioned that. That's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, Morgan Shaw Parker, the president of the Atlanta Dream, is going to join us for a couple of minutes as the regular season wrapped up last night for the Atlanta Dream.
Five in a row, man.
With a win over Connecticut. Yeah, five in a row. They get to 30 wins, doubled their win total from last year. The playoffs start this weekend, so very exciting times for the Atlanta Dream. So we'll have that conversation coming up in a few minutes. Brian Snitker was asked yesterday, something that we've talked about a little bit off and on, knowing that he doesn't have a contract for next year. Anthopoulos was asked about it last week and said all the right stuff.
Right. He's part of organization.
Yeah, he'll be here forever, whether or not he wants to manage.
Right.
We'll deal with it at the end of the year, all that kind of stuff.
Right, right, right.
Snit was asked about it yesterday, and he said, quote, "I've been doing a lot of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure what direction I want to go. Right. I still feel there's some unfinished business."
Yes. And I love what Snit said. And I think, you know, my only thing with it is, because I think Brian is a good manager, and I would love to see him come back. But I don't do the hiring. And they should not hire him because of that right there.
Yeah.
Because it's unfinished business. Or he wants one more crack at it. Or the 50th year. You need to bring Brian Snitker back to be the manager of this team because you feel like he can get it done as the manager.
Yep.
That's how I feel.
Yep. There's a right reason to bring him back and a wrong reason to bring him back. Yep. And I think there's a lot of Braves fans that think there's no such thing as a right reason to bring him back.
Right.
Because a lot of people are pinning what has happened this year on him.
It's not his fault that all the pitchers got hurt.
No, or that nobody could hit
nobody
for 100 games.
That's not on Schmidt.
No, and I also don't think – and there's people that just never thought he was a good manager anyway.
I never agreed with him.
I think a lot of baseball games have been won for a guy to not know what he's doing.
Right.
I think he might know what he's doing, and I also think that there's a – baseball is probably – no, it's probably true in every sport, but certainly true in baseball. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There's a lot of different styles of manager in baseball. And in his style with this team, for the most part, like obviously this year hasn't gone well, but I don't think it's because of any issue that they have with him or vice versa. I think his style of leadership with this group over the course of his tenure has been really, really effective.
I agree.
But, yeah, no, don't bring him back because 50 is a round number.
Right.
Don't bring him back because, you know, you owe it to him or anything like that.
I don't think Snit looks at it.
Bring him back because he's a good manager.
I don't think Snit maybe looks at it as a part about it. You know what I mean? Like, you owe me or something like this. Or I don't think, I don't know Brian Snicker personally, but I'm pretty sure that I'm 100% accurate. He's not coming back for 50.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, he's coming back because he ultimately thinks that he's the guy for the job and that he can get this team going in the right direction.
I will say, if it was a different situation, I just really like Brian Snicker. I'll be honest about that.
Right.
If it was a different situation with a different guy and I read the quote, I'm not 100% sure which direction I want to go, you kind of got to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to be 100% sure you want to be the manager.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No doubt about it. But, I mean, I think anybody in his age and at his his level at the game where he is would probably, knowing that his contract is up, knowing that, there is a definite possibility that they might not want me back, but if they do, I think, or I'm not 100%, that I want to come back. And I think he's looking at it from the standpoint of, let's get to the end of the season. Let's get to the offseason. Let's see, I won't say if they make any moves or anything, because I think Schnitt would take this team the way it is constructed back, so – I couldn't tell you what one way or the other, which way I'm leaning as far as if he's going to be the manager next year. But you're telling me that, that Alex Anthopoulos, because I almost say Alex was stuck with Schnitt. Schnitt was the manager when he got here. Does Alex have a guy out there that he wants to work with?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope he's the manager next year. I hope.
I would love it.
I hope Brian Snicker's the manager next year.
But for the right reasons.
Yeah. And I hope the team's good, and I hope he gets to ride off into the sunset. Personally, I think that was his hope for this year. I think he hoped that it would time out perfectly where this would be the final year of his contract. Obviously, he's been around for as long as he's been around.
I'm sure you anticipated.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you anticipated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, obviously, the season went the way that it went. And now he's like, well, I don't want to go out like that.
No.
Which I think that also can be a part of the right reason, too. That could be a good motivator for someone.
Yeah,
right?
But not to go out like that. Yeah.
I want to make sure my final season is a successful season.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. Anyway, that sort of came up yesterday. What do you got? Well, we'll get into some college stuff in about an hour. A lot of big games on Saturday.
Yeah, man.
There's a game tonight.
Yeah, NC State.
NC State, Wake Forest.
Yes. Both 2-0.
Look at that.
I was laughing because Dave Doran has probably got another contract extension.
Well, yeah, he's got a sneaky 9-3.
Yeah, no.
Wake Forest will go sneaky 9-3. Or sorry, NC State will go sneaky 9-3, and then everybody will be happy.
They'll give him another contract extension.
He does it every couple years.
Yeah, I mean, it always pops up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. And then obviously we talked about Wake Forest just because of who the quarterback is.
Did you see the quarterback for Memphis was TJ Finley?
It might have been a month ago.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain the tall kid from Auburn.
From Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, he's still in college. And we could not get
Memphis.
His name. We could not get
his
name.
They beat Georgia State, I think.
But that,
that's
why I was when we were having that conversation, I just could not remember his name.
He's played at 6 schools.
Yes.
Well, not played at, because one school he got kicked off the team before the season, but he's been at 6 schools.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I hope he got a double major or something.
Yeah, he's got to have a master's by now, right?
Yeah.
Or a doctorate.
You're in school 6 years. You're not going to regular classes, right? You're online, right?
You're also not going to the NFL. So
get that
degree.
Hey, guys, are you heading up Saturday to Knoxville? Well, be sure to make a pit stop at Twin Peaks in Chattanooga this Friday at Dukes and Bell. They will be there broadcasting live from 2 to 6, breaking down Saturday's matchup while enjoying food, drinks, and scenic views at Twin Peaks in Chattanooga. See you stop. It's right off of I-75 state line. That's Dukes and Bell Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He played all right against Georgia State on Saturday. They won 38-16.
What do you do?
He was 21 of 29, 200 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. And then the backup came in. I don't know if he got hurt or what, but backup came in and threw a touchdown. So he may be on the bench again. Going to transfer again. All right, we'll come back. Morgan Shaw Parker is going to join us, the president of the Atlanta Dream, ahead of their playoff run getting underway this weekend. We'll get back into some Falcons conversation as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know
the Browns outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody loves you like your family.
You think Sven's ever heard of Dr. Dre?
No.
Probably not. Dr. Dre is pretty global. Yeah.
I'm sure
worldwide.
He's probably heard of Eminem. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Week two gets underway tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Raheem Morris as well, as he was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. And we'll get back into a couple of different college football related discussions in just a few minutes. Before we do that, though, this weekend, the Atlanta Dream are in the postseason. Their regular season came to an end last night with another victory. Just an excellent, excellent season thus far for the Atlanta Dream. Joining us right now, president of the Dream, Morgan Shaw Parker. Morgan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, great season. We had the best win percentage in the franchise history, guys. This is awesome.
Yeah, congratulations.
It was outstanding. We saw that, you know, you doubled the win total and everything like that, and obviously a very high seed in this year's playoffs. But I want to go all the way back from the beginning about this hire, because when you look at where Carl Shmesko, you know, coming in not knowing a lot about him, what was the thought process when you hired him, and did you see this right there once the hire was made?
You know, Carl has been such a game changer for our organization. We attribute a majority of the on-court success to him. He has been such a game changer for us. You know, he really came in. Dan Padover, our GM, along with our ownership, was very intentional with their selection of Carl. And then Carl, together with Dan and our owners, very intentional about the coaching staff coming in and really looking at the athleticism and the ability of every single player individually. And for those that have followed our team, you can see that upgrade across every single player from a skills perspective across the board. It's just a different level of basketball. And so the success, I really do attribute to Carl's leadership, to, you know, Dan Padover, our GM, being a big part of selecting him with our owner, Larry Gottesdiener. It's been absolutely incredible. But, you know, Alicia Gray, Naz Hillman, Ryan Howard, we've got an MVP candidate in Alicia Gray. The awards, hopefully across the board, you'll see those coming in as well, but we're focused on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously a great run in the postseason would go a long way as well. Like, winning helps, right? Like, we understand what the business is. Like, when you win, popularity grows. It's the same for every team in this city. But I wonder from your perspective, like, obviously that's a part of it this year, but I wonder what other things have sort of shown up that have shown to you just how much more popular the Dream have gotten over the years, and this year specifically.
Well, the dream's been growing exponentially under new ownership, and I can't really say new ownership anymore. It's literally been 4 years since Larry Gottesdiener, Suzanne Hebert, and Renee Montgomery, our very own former player, coming in as the first WNBA team owner in history. You know, it's really been an exponential growth trajectory since then. You know, we've intentionally invested not only in the athletes, that's really our ownership's philosophy, is invest in them first, but invest in the community, invest in Atlanta, and really making sure that we're living into our name. We were named intentionally after Dr. King's speech 18 years ago by the city of Atlanta. And that doesn't mean that you can fall short in terms of, you know, how you're looking at supporting the community that supports you back. And so, you know, the popularity has grown. You know, there was a lot of chatter about, you know, is it going to be just, you know, the Caitlin Clark League? Well, Caitlin's played 13 games, and you've got so many other athletes carrying the news. And the numbers don't lie in terms of viewership. I was just looking at our Nielsen ratings, and we are up literally 10x year over year for the last 4 years. And this is no exception, which is crazy. Oh, so, you know, it's been a wild ride, and I will say Atlanta is showing out not only in our arena. We've sold out the last 2 years. We've got now, I can't even remember what the game number is right now. We've sold out over 44 games in a row over the past 2 years, so two consecutive sellout seasons for regular season. And then broadcast, you know, it is on fire right now. People are searching for the Atlanta Dream, and it's really great to see.
I know. As you can watch the game on TV, you see the building is just jumping every single time. So it is a fun time down there. And one of our favorite players, Ryan Howard. Like, we've had her on a couple of times. Yeah. Very humble young lady. But this girl right here is just a straight-up dog.
She is a dog. And if you look at, she is the fastest player in WNBA history to reach 300 career 3 points. It's ridiculous. I think she hit 9 in a row in a game the other day, and people were just losing their minds in the arena. You just don't see this stuff on a normal basis, you know, in any other league, a performance like that consistently. We've got some really special athletes. And then, you know, you think about Alicia Gray, good grief, they call her the human bucket. She says the same thing about Ryan, but you're right. These women are incredibly humble. These women are out in the community. These women are accessible. And it is just, you look at them and what they bring to the table, and then you see them on the court and you're blown away.
My daughter has a Ryan Howard doll. She sleeps with it most nights.
Ryan Howard doll. Yeah, that's awesome. What's awesome, too. I love it.
That's great. Hey, tell folks how, because I know the playoffs get underway this weekend, tell folks how they can get their hands on some tickets.
Yeah, we've got limited single game tickets available. We play on Sunday. We are the win or lose. We will play again at home on either Thursday or Friday next week. So you're going to be able to buy single game tickets, but you got to get them fast. Mm-hmm. And so they just went on sale recently. I believe it was yesterday with single game tickets for this Sunday. You know, we've actually got a really cool section that we've added. We have added 300 additional seats for young girls from our camps and clinics who attended. So all the more reason, as we do more of these camps and clinics as well, for these, you know, for parents and caretakers of young girls or coaches of teams to sign them up, because they do get these special opportunities. But we are selling single game tickets, only a few left, and you can go on AtlantaDream.com to find those.
Do you That's know awesome. Who the opponent's going to be yet?
No, that's what's killing us. We actually will know after tonight.
Right, okay.
So we are having to prepare for multiple scenarios, but we should know late tonight who our opponent will be for Sunday.
We can't wait. We can't wait to follow it and look, hopefully cover the dream all the way to a WNBA championship.
Let's go.
Thanks for the time today.
Let's go. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
No Absolutely. Problem. Thank
Morgan
you.
Shaw Parker there, president of the Atlanta Dream. Most wins in team history, doubled their win total from last year. All the stars that you know on the team. And now the second season begins on Sunday, right? Yeah, I mean, great regular season. Awesome. No doubt. Beat a ton of good teams, including the best team in the league a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
The only team that finished with a better record. Now they go on. Maybe. Hopefully, go on a run.
Let's hope so. Because again, there I know the Aces win streak because of what it was.
It's yeah.
Multiple. But the Dreamer are in the season on a 5-game win streak, and hopefully, like she said, we'll know tonight who their opponent will be, and it's going to be rocking just like it is. This team, I swear to you, I think they have just as good a chance as anybody. Mm-hmm. They really do. They got the star power. They got. You know, they got scores, they got assists, and I just love what she was just talking about, just the humbleness of these young ladies. Again, she said they're bringing extra seats for different groups and things like that, so I anticipate it being that home court advantage like it's been all season.
Yeah.
Even better, though.
It was nice to have
better.
Nice to have some team in the playoffs, you know? They're the only ones.
The absolute correct.
They're the only ones.
They're the only ones.
Because normally we could count on the Braves or Atlanta United or whatever. Not this year.
No, not this year.
Not this year. The Hawks were in the playoffs last year. Sort of. I mean, sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. Playing.
Yeah.
Playing.
I mean, it all depends on who you ask.
Well, maybe the Falcons will do it. Georgia goes to the playoffs.
That's true. Georgia. Oh, you know, Georgia's not Atlanta, though.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Georgia, Georgia's in Athens.
Athens.
We're not going to go there.
Athens
for we're not going to get that robbed.
Well, Georgia
right
Tech
now.
Is in Atlanta, and maybe they'll go to the playoffs.
They might.
This year.
They
got a big one on Saturday,
they sure
Randy.
Do. They damn sure do. They damn sure do. They might get in there, though. So.
I was going to transition into talking about that.
I thought we were going Falcons.
Oh, we can.
Okay.
Okay, sure, yeah.
No,
yeah.
We can go back to, but no, the thing with Tech is I think we're pretty much.
Trying to throw a lob.
We're thinking that, you know, Haynes King is probably going to play, mm-hmm. but they need a full boat of Haynes King.
Yeah,
meaning
that's right.
They need the rushing, the toughness, all those different things, the grit that he has. We talked about it yesterday. If you heard Coach Key this week in his pressers, his piss is hot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He ready to roll.
His press conference was scheduled to start at noon.
Right.
It started at 11:52,
yes.
And it was over at 11:57.
Yes.
So I had read that a couple of the beat reporters, you know, starts at noon, you get there at noon.
Uh huh.
He was done.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, where's the – oh, it happened?
Yeah.
Oh, what did he say?
Yeah.
He didn't say anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he is ready for this. And, I mean, I think this is as good a chance they've had to beat this. And just like the same thing I said about Tennessee, because it's one of those things where the real Clemson Tigers, please stand up. Because honestly, I'm not surprised that they lost to LSU because it was kind of, you know, two really good teams.
Sure.
But the way they struggled last week was was puzzling. Same way with the way Georgia struggled last week. And I don't want to say Georgia struggled. They just didn't play well. It was just a raggedy, out of sync type game.
Yes.
You know, just like, can we just hurry the hell up? And sometimes they play like, can we just hurry the hell up and get to Knoxville?
Yeah. I mean, look, it was Austin Peay, right?
Yes.
That game gets forgotten immediately if they play well on Saturday,
yeah.
Right? If they don't, and there's, you know, some of the things that showed up in that game kind of show up throughout the year, then it's like, oh, that was a little hint that Georgia was going to kind of look like that this year. But with Georgia, there's just been enough examples now in the Kirby Smart era where they kind of play like that sometimes against the inferior opponents, but then they're always up for the big ones, and obviously this is a big one on Saturday. You're right about Clemson. And there's a number of teams in that category right now, early in the year, that have lost a game that we thought and still think. I still think Clemson's really good.
I do too.
I picked them to win the national championship. Like, I'm not going to sit here two games in and be like, nah, they're bad. They lose on Saturday, which they very well could to Georgia Tech. The road to the national championship is going to be very, very difficult.
Yep.
So that pick's already looks pretty bad. It's going to look really bad then. But they're one of the teams that urgency is upon them,
yes,
big time.
Yes. Especially as good as Miami looks.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Texas,
yes,
with their loss,
yes,
to Ohio State. Florida, obviously. And that's a whole different situation.
They're going to LSU this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're going to LSU this weekend. So Florida might get a mud hole stomped in them down there.
They might.
Yeah.
And then that's it,
yes,
right? Like,
does Napier – because remember all the good grace and good credit he got last year, those last four games. You had Lagway coming back, certain things, and you thought, okay, well – and then you lose it all so early.
That's right.
That was the biggest thing. You lost it so early in the season where everything that went was going on before that four-game win streak going out of stretch is right back.
There's certain things that tend to be true in college football, like athletic directors don't usually get to make a third hire.
Right.
Right? Like, if it strikes out twice, you get fired. You don't normally get to hang your hat on the team didn't quit on me twice.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
That's what happened last year with Florida was people were impressed by his ability to keep that group together, improve throughout the year given the way September went, and have some momentum going into the offseason. You don't get to say that the next year. Well, they didn't quit on me again. Well, cool. Stop losing games early that would make them want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you don't get to do that. So that bullet was used last season. He doesn't have that one anymore.
No. They better not lose no more.
He does tend to do his best coaching when their back is against the wall.
They go down to Baton Rouge and win that game, all is forgiven.
Oh, sure.
They go down to Baton Rouge and win that damn football game.
Absolutely.
Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back on the other side.
Problem is, for them, is like, sure, obviously,
yeah,
for a week.
Yeah.
That schedule is,
yes,
relentless.
Yes.
Like, I know we talked about Oklahoma's schedule earlier in the week because it's also incredibly difficult. Every single team they play in conference now is ranked at this point. Florida's schedule is still probably the hardest one in the country. Like, LSU, obviously. Then they're at Miami right after that. Then they have Texas. Then they have Texas A&M, the Mississippi State, but they had a nice win. Then they have Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State.
Damn.
Yeah.
What'd they do?
They decided to stay in the SEC.
What the hell? What? Dang, well, you look at all that right there.
Yeah, man. It's Yeah, man. No rest for the weary.
No rest for the weary. There's no rest for our weary for our guy, Grant McCauley. For the most comprehensive coverage of Major League Baseball, turn to our Braves insider, Grant McCauley, every Sunday from the Diamond on Sports Radio 99 Game. Grant will bring you up to date on the latest Braves news with exclusive interviews and analysis you can only get from the Diamond. This week's show is Saturday at noon, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get your guaranteed offer for your home today. And by 50 Floor, visit 50floor.com for your free home estimate. It's from the Diamond with Grant McCauley this Sunday on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta Golf, open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Huh?
Never mind. I said Saturday, Sunday.
I think it's Saturday.
Okay.
Right?
I said Saturday and said Sunday. But Sunday, well.
Just
stay on 99
yeah,
The Game.
Just don't change the station.
We'll be there.
Okay? Just stay here. Rip the knob off your radio because you don't need to change it. Okay? All the shows are good. We'll be right back with an NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly what
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.